This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Folks, Bob Main here from the Handgun World Podcast. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 3 of your midweek modern self-protection podcast, hosted by Ben Branham. I'm just going to do a little introduction here. This is probably going to be a once-a-week tradition here for a while. Ben's going to submit typically a review, or you know what, I'm just going to kind of leave the subject matter up to him. He's pretty good at coming up with some stuff. But about a half an hour long, middle of the week, usually released on Wednesday podcast. You'll hear from me once a week, and as you know, mostly I put those shows out on Sunday. Ben is going to review his Ruger pistol, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. I just want to make a couple of announcements real quick. Just a couple of real quick things I need to cover. There are some voicemails that I'll be getting to in next week's show, which is going to be episode 198. Since episode 200 is coming up pretty quick, please do me a favor. I would love to get some testimonials from some of you who have been listening to my show, and just let me know what the Handgun World Podcast has meant for you over the last 3 years. I've been doing this show a little over 3 years. Episode 200 is coming up. It's not going to be anything real special, I'll tell you that. I don't want this show to be about me. It should be about you. And I want you to let me know what you got out of the show. How has it helped you? Give me a 3-minute synopsis. Please call my voicemail, 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. And let me know what this podcast has meant to you, and I'll put you on episode 200. If there's some stuff that you don't want me to share, then don't say it publicly on my voicemail, because whatever you say on the voicemail is going to go on episode 200 of the Handgun World Podcast. All right. Well, without any more fanfare or anything like that, let's get right to Ben Branham with a review of his Ruger P98. Stay tuned.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions mostly. Some murder, occasional rape, and I'm a huge advocate of gun control. Absolutely. Competition is stiff, and it doesn't help that every time I kick in a door or smash a window, that I face the possibility of being shot and killed. Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates. No one should have to work under those conditions. I say make them all illegal. Absolutely. Make all gun ownership illegal. I mean, I break the law for a living. I'm a professional, so it doesn't really bother me. I mean, but personally, knowing that most homeowners don't have guns, that would make me a lot more comfortable, more confident, and it would surely increase productivity. No doubt. This is no doubt. Only a threat of you makes you
listen. Your local violent criminals work hard and put their lives on the line every time they attempt to murder, rape, abduct, or assault a member of the citizenry. They desperately need your help. With your support, there may finally come a day when a violent criminal can have his way with you or someone you love without the fear, anxiety, and stress caused by knowing there's a possibility his victim might be armed. Please show your support by voting for stronger anti-gun legislation, because criminals prefer unarmed citizens.
Hello, and welcome to the Handgun World Podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Branham, and this is a midweek episode, MSP3. Normally you hear Bob Main, but he's taking a little time off and giving me an opportunity to talk to everybody. Last week I was on talking about one of the guns I own, so I thought I'd continue on that little trait and talk about my Ruger P89. And you can hear me playing with it in the background, clicking, and it's an old piece, so it rattles. You could probably hear that. It was the first pistol I ever bought, and I bought it, I think, in about 97, and I was actually too young. Maybe it was 97? I'm trying to think of when. But it was like right out of high school, and I was too young to buy the pistol. And my father actually bought it for me in his name and gave it to me. Luckily, that was still legal in California at the time. I'm not even sure if that's legal anymore. But it's kind of cool. It's cool hand-me-down, and I'll probably hand it down to my kid just because my dad handed it down to me, even though he bought it brand new and I had to pay him for it. But that's neither here nor there. It's a really cool pistol. I really like it. I have a lot of nostalgia for it, and it's, you know, it's that first gun I ever bought on my own that I really owned. And it's the first gun I ever carried on duty anywhere. I bought it because my dad, years earlier, had bought a P85 Mark II, which is the older version of this one. And he bought it from a range, and it was a rental gun. And we had beaten the snot out of that pistol. I mean, drop magazines in the dirt. We'd go out to the desert for the weekend, have the slide open, drop the whole gun in the dirt, pick it up, and not even blow it out or shake it off, just shove a magazine in there and run. We ran our cheap reloads through it when I was learning how to reload. And if any of you guys learn how to reload, you know that you make a bunch of mistakes. I was really good at hearing squib rounds. Squib round is that round that doesn't go off all the way, so it doesn't have enough force. Generally, it's because you didn't put enough powder in the actual casing, and it doesn't have enough force to get the bullet all the way out of the barrel, let alone cycle the weapon. So I got really good at that with that gun, and we never blew up that gun, which is a good thing. My dad still owns it, and it's had multiple repairs, but you know, I just kind of fell in love with it. It was the first pistol I ever learned how to shoot. It was something me and my dad did, so I bought the P89. And I really like it. Well, let me take that back. I liked it at the time. Now I keep it just as a keepsake in memory. Mine is the black version with a blue slide. It's an aluminum frame pistol with a stainless steel slide, stainless steel barrel. And I don't even know. I changed out the recoil spring and guide rod so many years ago. I don't even know where the original one is or what it came from with. But mine is so old with holster wear and everything else. The bluing is totally gone in the front. Every edge that the pistol has is now silver instead of blued. All the controls, you can see where my fingers go. The grip panels are all beat up and scratched up from when I carried it as an armored car guard for almost a year and banged it on everything. There's even the aluminum frame. There's parts that are all scratched up and scratched off. I have no idea why on the back strap both sides are no longer the gray finish of the gun. They're silver, worn off. It's not where the thumb brake goes. Anyways, you keep a gun for long enough, you get some oddball wear out of it. I don't even know where that came from. But this one, you know, it's just one of those old things that always worked. The gun was originally designed for the old Army test back in 84 when the Army adopted the M9, the Beretta pistol. It really didn't get a fair shake, but it was designed to pass that test, and that test was a 20,000 round life at the time, so that tells you what these guns are capable of and how long they will actually last. I shot mine so much that the trigger doesn't stay in where it's supposed to anymore. There's a piece on the frame that's actually worn out, and the trigger doesn't sit there when it's supposed to. When you take it apart, the trigger will actually pop up if you don't hold it down from the springs. And when I put it back together, I actually have to push the trigger back in there when I put the slide on top of it to keep it from binding and, kind of breaking. But once it goes back together, it still works. It's worked flawlessly for me for I have no idea how many rounds, but this thing is just a brick. If you're looking for a cheap gun, it might be yours. After I got my 1911, I started customizing and carrying that at work. And my friend, I forget what happened with his gun, but he didn't have a gun. So I loaned it to him for a while thinking I'd get it. He'd have it for like a month. He ended up carrying it for like 6 months and he trained with it. And he was a real klutz. I had to get my gun back from him. I think he dropped it more than he shot it. So, funny thing is he actually dropped it a couple times and I was, this one, you know, the Ruger standard with a 15 round magazine. You can buy 20 round magazines aftermarket for it. And I used to carry 20 round magazines in it. And I loaned him my 20 round magazines. He actually dropped it so many times that he broke one of the magazines while it was in the gun. He dropped it and dented the magazine so it didn't work. And then he was complaining that the gun wouldn't run because he bent the magazine dropping it. I don't even know how he did that, but that should be a testament to the gun. The gun was fine. Broke the magazine while it was inside the gun. He dropped it so many times. And yeah, I have no idea. But anyways, this thing kind of fell out of favor because, well, it shoots like a brick. It handles like a brick. It feels like a brick in your hand. And it weighs about as much as a brick. It's got a 4.5-inch barrel, a 7.75-inch long, which is right on par with a Glock 17. The problem is this thing weighs 32 ounces empty. A Glock weighs 22 ounces. So you can start to see where it's like a brick. But the thing is squared off on top. The slide has a very square profile. And then they try to notch it down as it goes forward. It's just holding it. It feels like a brick. If you never picked one up, if you see one in the gun store, go get the old P89 version. The newer ones are actually plastic framed. This one has an aluminum frame. If you pick it up and you look at it, you'll see what I mean. It's a brick. But I enjoy shooting it still, and I keep it around just for that kind of quirkiness of having it in mind. But it's quirkiness. Speaking of quirks, I can explain a couple to you first. Another reason it fell out of favor is the trigger. It's horrible. Gritty, hard to work. It's got to be like 20 pounds for a double action. And then the single action is probably about 10 pounds. Well, maybe less than that, but it's sure. Long travel, I can feel it. Even though this one has probably 10,000 rounds through it, it's still, the trigger is just horrible. Really hard to pull. I can feel the gun shake from the grit on the trigger, and it just, it's always been a bad trigger. It's improved greatly over years of use. If you do the thousand round trigger job like Bob suggests all the time, it'll improve any trigger. This one got better. It's still not keeping up with modern pistols. It was funny. I shot a P226 during the police academy. You know, those have beautiful triggers. And then on duty, I was carrying this P89 because the police academy didn't want me carrying the same gun at work as I did in the academy. So I ended up carrying my P89 at the armored car company and going to the police academy at night carrying that .226. And that .226 was a beautiful gun. And then this one was just a brick. It's my brick. The sights on it, they're traditional three dots, but they're kind of funny. The back one is dovetailed in like everything else, but in the sight itself, it has an Allen wrench bolt built into it as a stay. So you hammer the sight in there and then screw down this little bolt with an Allen wrench to keep it in place. The front one is even weirder. It's kind of a staked-in front sight, but it actually has a raised platform in the front of the barrel or the front of the slide. The sight drops in a little hole, and then there's two coil springs that you would shove in through the holes to hold the sight into the slide. Really weird design. This one's been dropped so many times. The front sight is fine. The rear sight I actually broke while working at an armored car company. I smacked it on something and broke one of the wings off. And had to get it replaced. Ruger replaced it for free. Actually, when I sent them the old sight, they sent me a new one. pretty good customer service over the years out of that, but kind of a weird site. Nobody's going to really make an aftermarket for either one of them because they're so different. The grip panels are another quirkiness of this thing. On the side of the aluminum frame, there's two panels that screw on, one on each side. The back strap is actually part of the frame, so there's nothing there. But the plastic, you can hear it, is actually hollow. So the sides underneath the grip panel, there's nothing there. You can see through the gun when you take them off. And there's only one screw at the bottom of the grip that holds each one on. So kind of where a 1911 bottom screw would be, that's where both of these are, but there's no top screw. The grip has a notch on it that slides into the frame that holds it in place. Another quirk that I never really, it didn't bother me when I trained with it and I had it for years, is the magazine release. It's ambidextrous, which is always nice. But instead of a Glock or a 1911 where you push in, this is a push forward. It's a little lever on each side, and you actually push that lever forward to release the magazine and let it fall out. And that's held in place by a flat spring, and you can actually, in the front of the grip that's smooth, you can actually see where the flat spring is attached to the frame of the weapon to hold it through. It's a really weird design. You look at it and it's where your fingers would go, and you think it would be rough or something. I never felt it when I trained and shot with it, but it's just another quirk that you can actually see that flat spring where it attaches to the frame, and it's on the outside and the inside. Oddball, oddball, oddball. The safety is a little bit quirky, but I like it. It's a slide-mounted safety like a Beretta, and down is safe, up is fire. It's a traditional double-action, single-action pistol. So when you fire it, the first round is double action, the second round is single action. The safety is a decocker. You can hear it slam forward. But what I really like about it is when you look underneath the decocker, or the decocker slash safety, when you put it on, it disconnects the trigger bar so that you can't pull the trigger. It lowers the hammer if the hammer's back. But it also, when you rotate it, you can see there is a block that is part of the safety. When it rotates, it actually blocks the whole firing pin in the hammer. So the hammer's no longer sitting where it should to fire the gun. So there's really no reason. I could pull the hammer back just like that. And on some guns, you could actually fire the gun by doing this. This one you can't because there's a physical block there. And inside it has all the internal safeties like everything else. It has a firing pin block safety. And does it have a half-cock notch? Nope, no half-cock safety like a Beretta. But this thing, that was one of the redesign parts from going to the 85 to the 89, was they improved the trigger, or not the trigger, they improved the firing pin and then the safety internally, and they added that block, like a Series 80 1911, where when you pull the trigger, a little lever goes up to push the detent out of the way to actually let the firing pin advance forward so it can strike the end of the primer and ignite the round. So kind of a weird, quirky system, but it goes with the rest of the pistol. It's like a brick. Really, if this thing with the safety on, I don't think there's any way you could fire the pistol at all. I mean, it's like, you know, Glock says safe, 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 safe. It's just not going to happen. The really weird thing, and I know a lot of California police departments, and you know, a couple of police departments picked up the Ruger, but most of them said they wouldn't. And one of the departments I used to volunteer at, they wouldn't pick up the Ruger or authorize it because of its weird takedown. And which I enjoy and like the takedown on this thing because you have to make sure the weapon is clear to take it down. Not like the Glock where you pull the trigger. You actually have to lock the slide to the rear, and I'm doing it while I'm talking to you. And inside, the ejector is on a plate, and you have to push down that ejector and the plate so it moves out of the way that will actually release the slide and let it come off the frame. That plate rotates down and blocks the magazine well, so there's no way that you could even have a magazine in there. And then if you let it go home to take it apart, obviously if there was a magazine in there, it doesn't work. It won't come apart. And if you lock the slide to the rear, you know, technically anything that's in there should come out. But, you know, physically, visually check always. But I like that because I've seen cops do so many stupid things. And it seems like the weapon maintenance part of it is the weirdest. I remember watching a cop with his SIG. He took it apart to clean it. He cleared it at a clearing barrel, which the department I was volunteering at had a clearing barrel, which was really smart for them. The guy cleaned it, put it back together, and he was carrying a SIG 220 at the time. And if you know, to put that thing back together, you have to rotate a lever forward. He put it back together, somehow got the slide to lock to the rear with the takedown lever rotated forward, put a magazine in there, went to the clearing barrel to chamber a live round, which is a good thing he went to the barrel, and he let the slide go with the slide stop. And when he did, it chambered around, and the whole top of the gun went sliding off the frame and into the barrel with a live round in it. All the safeties worked and everything, and nothing fired, but it was just, I mean, dumb to have that happen in front of you. And I've known a lot of cops, accidental discharges and everything. So I really think it would be a plus to a department because you can't make mistakes like that. So anyways, take it down. You push that little lever down. You let the slide go home. You pull it back, pull the slide back a little bit like a 1911, and you push the slide stop out and pull it all the way. Unlike the 1911, the slide stop is actually captured, so it doesn't come out of the frame. It only goes to the out position so you can pull off the top of the slide. And internally on the slide, it's like everything else. You take the spring and the guide rod out. I have a captured one in there, so it comes in one piece. The original did not. You could pull the slide, the spring, and the guide rod apart. And then the barrel comes out the top like a Glock or a SIG. And then, even though it's got a 1911-style linkage on it, which is kind of cool, kind of different. Ruger was trying to copy kind of the best of the 1911 at the time and the best of the Browning high power, you know, get that high cap 9mm in a different kind of 1911 design. The grip angle is about the same, and the internals kind of like a 1911 with the way the barrel rotates and stuff. They're trying to keep the accuracy and everything, I'm sure, but I don't think that really worked for them. It wasn't a... Rugers are not famous for being accurate weapons. I mean, I learned how to shoot on this one, and I did okay, and I enjoyed it. But I quickly, when I started seriously training, I stepped out of this one, into that SIG, into my custom 1911. And now I shoot a Glock. So anyways, I just stuck the gun back together, reached in, pulled that little lever up so my slide won't come off again. And now the gun's ready to go. So I thought I'd share my thoughts on the gun. And right now, I mean, back in the day when this thing came out in the early 90s, really, you didn't have a lot of choices. There was the SIG 226, which was, you know, $1,200 back in the day, and the Ruger P89 that was selling for $300. And then you had the Beretta, and then a couple Smith & Wesson oddball things. And the Smith & Wesson handled a lot like the Ruger, a brick. The Beretta was, the Italian gun. It was more of the high angle, and then the SIG was the top of the line kind of using. But, the Ruger, it was hard to beat. I mean, before Glock took over the country and stuff, and it was just a really great gun. And if you find one and you still need a cheap gun, and you're looking for a cheap gun to shoot, I think your Ruger is the way to go. I mean, you could probably find them for a couple $100 at a gun show that have close to no wear to them. Will shoot fine, will run forever. Your accuracy is going to be... it's going to be down there. I mean, you're talking 3-4 inches at 25 yards instead of the 2 or 3 inches that everything else is going for. But most of us, it doesn't matter. You know, I can't hold the gun that steady anyways. I'd have to get to a bench rest to make sure it worked. So the trigger kind of helps you, but Overall, as a cheap gun, this thing would be awesome. It handles like a tank, and it's built like a tank, and it's as strong as a brick. So really, I wouldn't have any problems with buying another one of these and having it around if I couldn't afford a more exotic, newer model gun, newer design. I'd still go with the Ruger, and I wouldn't feel undergunned or outgunned. It still works. I've seen guys shoot these amazingly well at some matches. I used to be pretty darn good at it before I switched over to other guns. You can still find holsters for it. It's not as common as a Glock holster, but there's still holsters out there. You can find them. And magazines you can find for dirt cheap. You can still get Ruger actual magazines, and you can get aftermarket magazines all over the place. And I found that a lot of the aftermarket magazines from Pro Mag and stuff in this Ruger, they work fine, because I think Ruger actually sold them the actual drawings to some of them and gave them out, instead of other companies just trying to copy them. Ruger actually helped them out so that there would be good magazines on the market, not just by Ruger. So you can get 20 round, 30 round sticks, or the typical 15. If you're in California, you can get the 10 still. Sorry about that, guys, but you're kind of stuck there. I used to be there. I moved out to Texas. Now I can get actual capacity magazines instead of cut down magazines. So that's about it for the Ruger. Oh, I forgot one thing. Over the years, I did change one thing, and I really enjoy this. And hey, look at gun companies have come up to the market. I have a Fire Dragon recoil spring in it. And what that is it replaces your guide rod and your spring, and you get a captured spring on there. But the coolest thing about it is it's a dual spring. Kind of like Glock came out with that cool design. They thought they were the man, right? And some of the smaller guns. The dual springs have been around for a long time. I bought this one, I'm trying to think, 2000 is when I found this company. It was a little company out of California. I bought one for my SIG, bought one for this one, bought one for my 1911, carried it forever. I found in the 1911 that I had to replace it about every 10,000 rounds because it would break on me. But even broken, the thing, my gun would still run. I broke it at a course one time, and the instructor flipped out. And I'm like, nah, no problem. It'll still run. He's like, are you sure it's safe? I'm like, yeah, no big deal. So I'm shooting the gun with part of the guide rod hanging out the front, and it still ran. But these things are cool. It's called Fire Dragon Recoil Springs. So it's a captured spring on the outside, and it's pretty much your standard weight. But what happens is inside the guide rod, it's actually a piston itself. So if I push the guide rod down, I can feel the spring, and it's a much heavier spring inside. So inside the gun, when you pull the slide back or when you shoot, what happens is that outside recoil spring, your normal recoil spring that you'd have on a gun, compresses. And when that hits a certain point, it also starts compressing the secondary spring inside. So what I found is that I could shoot plus P rounds, and it would feel the same as shooting a normal round because of this extra spring. And it's kind of like being able to drop two different weight springs. You know, some guys will have their 10-pound spring to run their bunny fart loads out of their gun so they can really shoot fast, and then they'd put a standard 15 or 17 pound spring in there so that they could go back to a normal round for self-defense and for everything else. But I found that this one, it really makes it feel all the same, and I really got to reach out to this company and see if they're still making them. And I see them online right now. I look before the show and see if it looks like exactly the same design. I checked on it already. And see if I get one for a Glock and try it again. Because these things, I mean, he's been making them forever. He used to make them out of his garage in California, I think. And when I broke one in my 1911, I called him. I'm like, hey, dude, this thing. He goes, no problem. Which kind you got? Here, I'll send you another one. So it was really cool. And so I don't even know what they're going for. $60 right now. Kind of expensive for a guide rod. But I think I'm going to buy one for my Glock just because I liked it so much. And make sure it still runs, but I've never had any problem with these two or three springs that I had. But that's my Ruger, and I've got, I don't know how many. I've probably got 20 magazines for it and three or four holsters just because I've had it for so long. I've shot, got to be at least 10,000 rounds through this thing. Who knows how many times I've pulled the trigger practicing. But right now, I keep it as a secondary gun that I can loan somebody else. And I just keep it because it was the first gun I used. First gun I carried. And I just don't. It seems like every time I give up a gun, I go, oh, I wish I had never given that up. So this is one of those ones that I'll keep forever. And hopefully my son will get into it. I'll hand down. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. This is going to be the end of it. If you're thinking about a cheap gun and you see one of these Rugers for a real good price, I'd say under $300 towards $250 is a good price for one of these. And you don't have enough money to pick up anything else, I don't think you can go wrong. I think you'll enjoy it. So until next time, stay safe. And remember, your gun and your knives are only tools. Your mind is the weapon. Train it well.
Well, thank you, Ben. Please make sure you check out his website, modernselfprotection.com. Ben also does his own podcast called the Modern Self Protection Podcast, and he's got some good stuff up there. I've been listening to it, and it's going great. So thanks again, Ben. You always submit some good content. Looking forward to what you are going to send out next week. You know what, folks? He sends me these about 3 or 4 days before I actually post them. So I just give him some general ideas and let him run with it. I do want to let you know that our San Antonio class that Ben and I are teaching, called Beyond Concealed Carry, it is sold out. I can't remember if I made that announcement or not. San Antonio is sold out. If you still want to train with Ben and me, catch us in Dallas, November 3rd, 2011, Saturday. Catch us up in Dallas at the Quail Creek Shooting Range in Argyle, Texas, which is not very far from Texas Motor Speedway. And come train with us. One-day class, 9 to 3, Beyond Concealed Carry. I think you're going to like it. Go to handgunworld.com and you will see details. Also, Combat Pistol Marksmanship, my Suarez International class. You know what? Enrollments continue to increase, and I'll tell you what. When I was at Mag 40 last week, I realized that there's still a lot of people out there carrying guns that need to master the fundamentals. That's what I'm going to help you do. I'm going to help you master the fundamentals. First of all, you'll come out of there shooting nice groups. You'll come out of there with your marksmanship fundamentals mastered, but you're also going to be introduced to the concept of after-action assessments and shooting multiple threats. So check out Combat Pistol Marksmanship. That's a little bit more extensive course, and that's going to be 9 to 5. That's going to be October 20th in San Antonio. Also, stay tuned for more cool stuff. A lot of you have been emailing me saying that you want to train with Ben and myself, but you can't make it to Texas. We have a solution for you coming up in about a month. So be watching my Facebook page, be watching the Gun Rights Radio Network forum, and be watching the website, the newly designed website at handgunworld.com. Thanks for listening to the third episode of the Middle of the Week Modern Self-Protection Podcast. I'm Bob Main. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Thanks, and I'll catch you on Sunday. Goodbye.